Welcome to the Best of Avoiding Chores Friday Night Hangout. This is the Best of Edition recorded live on June 12th, 2015. This is where we get together, have a brew, and get kind of drunk while we talk about the latest news of the day. On this episode, we're going to be talking about the Donair Nut, Tidal Bay Wine, Cabela's is coming to Nova Scotia, and a few other towns across Canada. Chimps getting drunk on fermented palm sap in something called the CatCon LA and a whole bunch of other stuff. Let's get into the show in progress. The round of intros here. Let's start off in Ontario tonight. We got Dan with us tonight. Good evening, Dan.
Hello. Yeah, I'm in, right now I'm in Kingston, Ontario for, well, I'm almost done over here, and I spent most of my life in Ontario, and I kind of lost a bit of my Ontario accent being in Nova Scotia for such a short period of time, too, so
yeah, let me try to get it back. You haven't lost it as much as you think you have.
Let me try. Hello, ladies. This is my Ontario accent. Notice how I enunciate every word and syllable as I talk. Good day. Go get your storm chips.
All right, in Halifax, Krista is with us. Bite-sized travel, that's a good evening, Krista.
Good evening. It is sultry this evening in North End, Halifax.
Sultry. It's not sultry over here. I'm going to give you a warning,
you
Halifax.
You look like you're in an underground bunker.
I can't answer that one. But I can say that it's raining like crazy over here, and the weather patterns are going to be moving out east. So by Saturday, you'll be getting our rain.
Yes, we've heard.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thanks, Dan.
In Newfoundland, St. John's area, we got Mike with us tonight. How is she going, Mike?
It's going. How's it going for everybody in the Avoiding Chores gang?
Yay!
Awesome. My course is done. Yay.
Perfect.
It's summer.
Yay!
Is Carrie alive?
Who, me?
Yes, Carrie. How's it going, Carrie?
I'm okay.
All right, froze. No, you froze a little bit when we did the big intro for you there, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but you're with us tonight, so right now you're with us. All right, I am in Halifax here, and just enjoying life in general. I finally mowed my lawn. It was literally knee-high. It took me like an hour and a half to do my little poke.
If you had let that grow another 6 inches, you could have sold that as hay.
But then what am I going to do with all the ticks that are embedded inside of it? So,
I don't know. I only solve one problem at a time, Jim.
Mm-hmm. All right. We got a number of people watching, and they're probably thinking, you know what? I have a problem. I don't know what I should be drinking tonight. I need some recommendations. Well, we're here to help you here. Let's do a quick run of what we're drinking tonight. St. John's, Mike, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm on the Muskoka Brewery Detour. It's a nice light one. Nice flavor. Nice.
I am drinking the last of the summer wine. I'm drinking the Sea Level Brewing Apple Blossom Ale.
I had that last night.
Infused with apples, yeah. It's lovely. It is a lovely summer beverage.
I'm going to drink a Yippie IPA.
Well, I got to go to the LICBO over here in Kingston, which, for those who don't know, in Ontario, they have the LCBO, whereas you have the NSLC, of course, in Nova Scotia, and the Liquor Barn in New Brunswick. So I'm drinking one that I found there called Black Creek Historic Brewery Empirical Ale.
Empirical.
Empirical, a typo on the label. Even.
Are you supposed to consume it with all of your senses?
So far only one's been tested, but we'll continue and figure that one out.
Nice young, we'll see where it goes.
All right, excellent. What's the ABV on that one?
It's just 5%. But it's actually pretty nice. You can taste a little bit of the maltiness to it. Well, it says taste Ontario's brewing heritage, you know, historic brewery handcrafted. It's like It's like a whiny dog now.
And I'm just checking what's left in my bottle here, which is from North Brewing, our friends from North Brewing. They got their Belgian pale ale. I think right now they're trying to do too many hybrids with the Belgian yeast. Stick with kind of what works, maybe get into the double, triples and all that stuff, but you know, just add in Belgian yeast to whatever other style you want.
Yeah, they're doing well. I'm very hit or miss with their things. It's just a taste preference, I guess.
All right, let's start with the first topic here tonight, which is Roby Street Station creates the Donairnut, which is a donair on top of a glazed donut.
It looks and sounds very strange.
Like, is this lunch? Is this breakfast? Am I going to roll in with my car at 7:30 in the morning, get a coffee? Like,
yeah, like, I mean, I'm not a big donair person, that aside. I like the idea of hybrid foods. I've had a cronut, like a real cronut, from the cronut place in New York. And I feel like this is just a little too weird for me.
I think Halifax is obsessed with donair sauce. I don't see that anywhere else with this level of obsession. Like, you see everywhere in Halifax.
Well, donair sauce is a separate matter because you can put garlic fingers in it. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Well, yes, that's fine. But it seems like you go to a Chinese restaurant and you're getting donair sauce for your egg rolls. But everywhere you go in Halifax, you get donair sauce. I'm hoping it's donair sauce.
I did not know that.
The waiter told me it was donair sauce, and I'm just going to say that. But, yeah, it just seems like Halifax is obsessed with that stuff.
It's where Jane's on the Common used to be. It's on the corner of Roby Street and Canard over by the Commons. It's
just
great.
The
food is fantastic there, but this is a bridge too far for me.
Was this a great opportunity to get some nice free press for the location? Because, let's be honest,
you tell me.
They may have been open up for a number of months, and I would have no idea.
Do you think they were effective in getting free advertising?
I think so. Now I know where they are now, so
I'm going to open up a restaurant, and it's going to have a free junk punch sandwich. So with every order of a sandwich, you get a punch in the junk. And junk punch sandwich.
It's going to be called junk punch.
Junk punch.
They're just making this for the weekend, isn't it?
I'm not feeling the love.
Well, one of you guys can go eat it and tell me how it was, but I'm probably going to pass on this one.
Is there a price tag on these things? I don't feel
$4.
$10 million.
$4 per donut.
Really?
Now,
I thought that would have been $12 for sure.
Are they making their own donuts too? Is this like a donut eatery? And then, like, is this like a gourmet?
It's an anal donut. No. They're largely a breakfast restaurant, and this is their kind of menu expansion, I think.
So there's some guy going over with a box of 12 from Tim Hortons and then putting donair on it.
I don't know. Maybe they are making their own.
That will probably be a cheaper solution, so let's just get a pack of Timbits, walk over to the Sobeys, get one of those donair kits, just grab the sauce pack. All right, let's, as an FYI to everybody, next topic here, Tidal Bay. Does a quick PR campaign to say, hey, we've got nice wine. It's called Tidal Bay. But there's some discontent. Tidal Bay, this is a standard?
Appalachian
standard. Now, if not all of the wineries in Nova Scotia, they produce a Tidal Bay wine. Has to meet certain criteria. Anyway, I guess they're starting to promote it this year. However, you may have seen the feel-good stories about Tidal Bay. However, there are some that are not so happy about Tidal Bay and not included or don't like how the brand is being run, probably because not all wineries are able to grow the grapes or had a good winter, and that means that they're not being promoted with the new edition here. Has any of you tried this Tidal Bay wine?
Yeah, I've had a decent number of them. I've sampled quite enough. Not tonight. You know what? Tonight I did actually have a glass of Tidal Bay when I was on one of my stops between here and there. And I find this curious because this was something that the industry pursued collectively so that there would be some unifying force in the Nova Scotia wine sector in the, among all of these producers, and it gave them a marquee product, and it's meant to suggest a quality standard as well as a product standard, because it is made with, it's supposed to consist entirely of Nova Scotia grapes and in these combinations and in these percentages. And if it meets these, the few criteria, then it qualifies as a Title Bay and you can put your name on it. If not, you can call it something else and sell it under your own, they sell it under your own label anyway. So I don't know, this is an industry that is very difficult. They have a lot of, it's a challenging sector to be in because it's really resource intensive and it costs a lot of money to be involved in it. So it can be really sensitive to things like a really crummy winter like the one we just had. But I'm very surprised to hear this reaction because it actually has been a pretty decent success for the brand of Nova Scotia wine.
Yeah. I think what happened here is that one of the wineries, they wanted to make one of their own, their own version, not necessarily following the standards, but complaining that they can't do what they want with specific grapes and stuff. One of the people that are not content is Lunenburg County Winery, which is mostly a fruit blend, or they do a whole bunch of stuff. So, they're a little critical on the governance and such. So, as you were saying there, they're trying to cut a standard with the Title Bay.
Yeah, this isn't supposed to be a lowest common denominator product. It's actually supposed to show how much the industry has matured and evolved over the last 10 years. And now we are producing at a standard where we can have this higher quality product.
Mm, exactly. I don't know if you guys can see this here.
Oh, look at that!
Ooh. Garrison Brewing just announced a rebrand, new logo and all that stuff.
Nice.
Check that out.
That looks, it has the same style as the flying boats one that's coming up in Moncton.
All right, Garrison, kudos. I think they have, don't they have an event tonight? Their back lot?
Oh, I thought that was tomorrow, is it?
Oh, okay. If you haven't got your tickets, go down to Garrison. They have their back lot event going on there. So, Garrison riding high on their expansion and stuff. So, a lot of stuff going
on
here.
Riding high on expansion because the amount of money they made off of the old fog burners.
Big news, Rednecks rejoice in Nova Scotia. Cabela's. We thought Cabela's would be in Moncton only. Hey, guess what? 2 days after the Moncton store opened, they announced Cabela's is coming to Halifax. More precisely, Dartmouth Crossing in 2017.
Oh, my Lord.
I love the CEO's quote where it says, Nova Scotia truly embodies the Cabela's lifestyle.
What does that mean? Okay.
That means a lot of camo.
Wait. Did you say redneck? Oh, sorry, that. Nova Scotia truly embodies the Cabela's lifestyle and is a perfect fit for our company.
I think he's going to be very disappointed with the number of guns he finds here.
Well, I don't know. I've been going to a few outdoor stores here. You can get yourself a lot of guns. Canadian Tire restocked their guns now.
Oh, yeah?
After a number of years. Oh, yeah, you can.
Should I get a gun?
You know what? We should go get some Mossman 12-gauge shotguns.
You know what I would do? I would like to go to, a shooting range and shoot a gun in a controlled environment. I think
yes.
I would. I think, first of all, I am surprisingly good at it. And second of all, I think it would be interesting, and then I would be done with it.
Years of Nintendo Deck Hunt will pay off.
That's right.
No, I just feel like I am a naturally good shot. I can't explain it. I just feel like it's one of those things. I've seen a lot of movies. I'm going to pick it up and know what to do with it.
When Bass Pro Shop said they were going to move into Moncton, and Cabela's jumped on that real fast and got their store open faster than Bass Pro Shops, and now they're putting another store in the region, they're pretty smart. There are a lot of outdoor people in this area, and they're really smart for getting on that.
So I'm looking forward to 2017. I do need to go to the Cabela's in Moncton. I need to buy a cot. Chimps enjoy getting drunk on fermented palm. Kind of related to So chimpanzees in West Africa get inebriated during lengthy drinking sessions featuring the fermented sap of palm trees normally used to make palm wine. The report in the Royal Society Open Science focused on primates living in Guinea which they use to, you know, these palm fermented palms can have up to 6.9% alcohol.
Oh, Title Bay wine. Are we talking about that?
So while baboons in South Africa are known to steal fermenting grapes from vineyards, monkeys are known to sneak into unsuspecting resorts and steal cocktails. These chimpanzees are unique because their alcohol consumption is not the result of any human interaction.
When fruit goes bad and it's sitting on the ground and all this other stuff, that you will get drunken squirrels and you will get all kinds of other animals that especially cows. You know that silage? You know what silage is? It's corn and everything else.
Yeah.
It's stored over a long time, and you know that's why cows have big eyes. They're.
I spent a lot of time rolling up the black plastic when it first became popular out here in New Brunswick or Nova Scotia. Cutting off the oxygen, letting the wet, sugary hay just ferment and turn brown. Very rich, maintains the protein, but also has a nice sweet smell to it. If you store them in silos, it creates a gas that's toxic. So in the winter time when the machine is frozen, you go in and.
Well, I hope they had fun. I hope none of them had to drink.
Today, folks, if you're wondering, in Halifax specifically, it was probably the hottest day of the year so far.
Without a doubt.
In my car, I had 29 degrees Celsius as I was driving through. It was hot. Of course, this is the time of year, as in the last year or two, people leave their pets in the cars, and they just seal them up in the car, and they go do their 2 hours of grocery shopping or checking out things at Walmart. So we've had a report of at least two dogs being rescued from overheated cars. So basically, now we can smash your windows to get to your pets if you leave them in the
parking lot. And don't think I won't do it. I'll do it with a smile, saving your dog's life.
Crazy. Now, however, there's a sad story to this. Now, a Texas man has died inside. This is sad. Like, he had his dream. He's in Texas, had his dream car, had his favorite, you know, his pet dog, his vehicle lock malfunction, locked in his car. Both of them died from heat exhaustion in their car. Terrible story out of Texas.
That is a terrible story.
Yeah.
Like, how do you lock yourself in the car?
I don't understand that at all.
If it's electric, you can usually get out.
Yeah.
But it sounds like the electrical system failed. I just took a quick look at the article.
But is there not a mechanical way to run?
But he may not have had the strength to, like, you know, move himself around and kick out the window or.
Yeah, 72-year-old man, and he was at a Waffle House. As Krista said, he may not have had strength to do much of anything there.
That's a huge design flaw by Chevrolet.
Yeah, usually.
The fact that your vehicle has no power and you can't open the door through a manual override?
This was a Corvette.
Yeah, Chevy Corvette. Battery cable was loose off the battery, which is what caused the electrical issues. But then he could not use the electrical locks on the doors. But a car like that still should have a manual override. I mean, I don't.
Like, you should be able to open the door, basically.
Yeah, from there should be some sort of manual button that you can still do. I don't get that. I haven't looked inside a Corvette or modern Corvette, so.
Sorry, I don't have the story in front of me anymore. Does it say what model year it is? Is it like an older model, or is it a...
Well, if it's an older one, because they have the big metal chrome things that can pull up manually, so if it's an older one, it'd be easier to get out. I can't imagine a modern one not having something like that.
That's scary that you could be locked in.
This is why I don't own a car.
Oh, this is
I don't want it to,
maximum
I don't want it,
overdrive.
I don't want it to decide it doesn't like me anymore and seek its revenge.
Why didn't that guy have one of these things in his car? The glass thingy. You push that against it and it pops out and busts the window.
And what is the next topic, which is the Wayback Machine 1989 is the year that we...
That was a good one.
This year, 1989, the Calgary Flames won their first and only Stanley Cup versus Montreal.
The Nintendo Game Boy came out in 1989.
Yep.
The first satellite used for GPS was put into orbit in 1989.
First unofficial text message. The greatest Batman movie theme song ever came out in 1989, but I actually...
Bat Dance! George Bush Sr. becomes President of the United States.
Yeah, this is your fault, GWB.
Serial killer Ted Bundy executed.
I remember that. I watched the coverage of that on the news, and I was... how old was I in 1989? So I would have been like 14, 15, and that was grim to watch because CNN had a live camera on the prison, and they like show the car leaving with him, his like electrified body inside.
The Satanic Verses, the Ayatollah Khomeini issues a fatwa.
I'm surprised, looking back through the major events of the year, I am surprised by how long that really dominated the news cycle. Can you imagine if something like that happened now in our current climate, particularly, when you talk about Iran and when you talk about Islam, and it's like, I think it would just be Fox News 24 hours of insanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
24 hours a day.
Toyota launches Lexus as a brand.
Oh my God, that's only that old? Really?
Yeah.
What is it, like, 25 years. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
New go cars in the U.S. went bankrupt. Mm-hmm. Promise.
Pat Sajak quits the daytime version of Wheel of Fortune to do his late night talk show.
Yeah.
That didn't last long.
Nope.
Pat Sajak show was terrible. Terrible.
Pat Sajak is also like a crazy right wing activist as well. You go look at his Twitter sometimes. He has some pretty extreme opinions from someone who hosts Wheel of Fortune.
He's the Ted Nugent of game shows.
Yes, he is the Ted Nugent of game shows. And you probably always thought it was Chuck What's-His-Face, but nope.
Chuck Woolery. Wow.
The Comedy Channel, or Comedy Central, debuted in 1989.
Who wants to guess how old Emmanuel Lewis is now?
Oh my God! Well, I got 40. I'm right here on Wikipedia. Let me find out here momentarily.
No! Don't
look
at
me.
He's
55. Yeah, he's 55 years old.
40.
He's 44.
89. He was born in 89. He's 44. Do the math.
Yeah, he's 44.
I thought Webster was like, he's one of those guys that was like, 37 when he was in the show.
No, he was born in 19...
actually age appropriate.
Yeah, he was born in 1971. He's 44 years old. Hey, let's talk about Evan Sullivan. There's a nice news story this week. I actually, if there was one show I tried to listen on CBC... on a regular basis, it was The House, Saturday mornings. Mm-hmm. I kind of like Evan. I kind of liked his interview styles and how he grilled the Senate on ethics and stuff like that. But now that we know that he was doing his own little side business. When you're getting commissions...
What messed up about CBC is that they have people all over the place taking money and running side businesses and doing speaking engagements. Like, how does Amanda Lang still have a job? She is shopping one of the senior vice presidents of the Royal Bank. She interviewed him and then let him basically tell their own fantastic story. If that isn't at least on par with the sort of journalistic malfeasance that Evan Sullivan has created, I don't know.
Somebody, I forget what station it was on, they said, it's funny, with all this stuff here, Amanda Lang and Pamela Wallen, nothing's happening to them, but all the guys are, like, going through the coals and getting police and stuff.
Yeah, like, how does Amanda Lang still have a job? Like, if you want to talk about someone whose journalistic ethics have been compromised, it's someone who's taking money from the people she's meant to be reporting on, and then she reports on them favorably. And then, without her boss's knowledge, she goes and writes opinion pieces for a completely different media outlet, extolling the virtues of the work that she did, that these companies paid her for.
So some of these commissions, up to $300,000? Like a founder's fee? Damn, that's not like...
I am in the wrong business because I do not know how to separate rich, potentially stupid white guys from their money.
Jesse Brown had a really good quote here this week on this topic. It's by, you know, you're in Ottawa and you're hanging out with these politicians and stuff and you're like, why not me? I can be in that position. Why not me? I want to be part of the game. Why not me? And I think Evan was like, why not me?
Well, you know what? Tim Scott made a really good point about this, and he wrote an opinion piece that was in the Toronto Star today about it. If Evan Sullivan wanted the money so badly, he could have gone into PR and made the money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, he started with his own little kind of magazine in Ottawa there. It's just that after time he kind of got bought out or recruited and all that stuff. So, you know, I don't know how much he was making in CBC, but did he really need to have this, like, this finder? Like, this finder suite doesn't make any sense, but yeah. The business partner ratted him out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. There will be more of these. This is not the end of scandals for CBC because the leadership of the organization hasn't changed. And until it does, nothing about the way the organization conducts itself will change.
No real discipline that's going on right now. So. All right, with that, Krista, how do we end off the hangout tonight?
Good meeting!
Good meeting!
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
If you like what you hear, make sure you like and share this podcast to your friends and check out our website, avoidingchores.com, for more content and links to our social media accounts. We do this every Friday. Let us know how we're doing.